The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territory and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
Heavenly Father, we know that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that in this time that you've given to us, you give us a word that works. Anoint these lips of clay, make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody's life. To the end, our voices shall be lifted and we'll say you are the one who did it. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to look for three people and tell them, fuel your passion. It is in the chapter number 6 that a brief introduction and probably the story will try to make sense to you. The sons of the prophets who had come to Elisha, who happened to be technically their junior in the school of the prophets, but now because the mantle had fallen on him, they had to come to him anyway. That is to tell you that when it comes to the programmings of God, it doesn't matter how old you have been in the system. God can pick anybody, even a newcomer, and elevate him. You can say that the person just joined a group, just joined a team, just joined the church, just joined the political party, just joined the bank, just joined the organization or the institution. When it comes to God, that is irrelevant. Because you can be a newcomer and yet grace can fall on you such that you can do more than the people who had been there for a long time. If the story is told, you realize that Paul was also a newcomer. And yet when he came, an unction fell on him such that the works of the Apostle Paul became very pronounced throughout his generation and even after. It doesn't matter how long you have been in a system. If God actually wants to use you, he will. But if you're a newcomer too, it shouldn't limit you. If you have people that are always trumpeting, we've been here for long. We have been here for so long. And we know the system. Industry knowledge is good. But sometimes somebody can come on the scene that God will place something on him that will rubbish anything you called experience in that kind of field. Because God can pick anybody. In the verse number 1 from the chapter number 6, that story is told that they had now come to Elisha, who happened to be their junior, but by virtue of the anointing had been made their overlord. And when they came to him, they said that we are uncomfortable in this place. If you read from the verse number 1, he said, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. They came to Elisha and said unto Elisha, Elisha, we are uncomfortable. That is to tell you that life, there is no way you can progress from where you are until you feel some discomfort in where you are. If you are very comfortable where you are, if you think you are okay, if you think things are all right, this is how things are supposed to be, then there is no way you are going to push forward. But the moment you feel that this place is beneath who you are, and it's too limiting, it's too uncomfortable for you, then you begin to press and push forward. That was a story found in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 6. They came to him and they said, we are uncomfortable. The place we are staying with you, we have to, somebody has to sleep on the bed, with somebody has to face somebody's leg, somebody has to sleep under the bed. It's too straight for us. It's too uncomfortable for us. The discomfort we experience in sleeping here, we have to go. We have to do something differently. And the prophet said unto them, go ye, go and do even as you have been challenged or motivated or inspired in your heart to do. That is to mean that, people of God, before I even press forward on the substantive test that we read, you will never move forward in life until you become uncomfortable with where you are. Can I rewind and press play? There is no way you can become the head, the one that is on top. There is no way you can rise to prominence if you are comfortable where you are. Your discomfort will create an energy from within to push forward. It is only the only time the chick will break loose from the shell of the egg is when it outgrows the space within which it is confined. The chick will never come out of the egg. The chick will be very comfortable. So it is not the mother that will crack the egg open. It is a chick from within. When the chick feels, I am trapped in this place. This thing is stifling. I have been working 8 to 5 and I am not able to break out and do the things that God wants me to do to become a champion. And this is stifling. That is the only time you begin to dig deep and dig deep and dig wide and begin to break any barrier or anything called limitation. Until you feel uncomfortable, there is no way you will press forward. Discomfort is the motherboard for all creativity. Discomfort, challenges, problems, the things that are limiting, they are the things that will inspire you. When the thing is not working out, you want to find out, is there another way I can push this forward? Until you get to a place of discomfort, you will not make room for yourself and room for other people. The reason why we are not creating spaces, the reason why we are not creating employment is because we are very comfortable where we are. Your discomfort will give you the impetus, will give you the energy, will give you that wherewithal to be able to push forward and do mighty things for yourself, for your country, and for the people that are around you. Until you feel uncomfortable. That is what is said in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. They said, where we dwell is too straight for us. It's uncomfortable. You, the place you are. Until you feel that it is beneath who you are. God brought you here. God brought you to Ghana. God allowed you to enjoy the space called Ghana. Because God wants you to lead a generation. God wants you to create spaces for generation. God wants that people will come to the saving knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ through you. And you are just comfortable because you are able to feed and pay your rent. When you are comfortable with that, and so sometimes God will allow a landlord to frustrate you. Can I say it again? So sometimes when God knows that you are too slow, and you've developed a cold feet, he will put a taskmaster on you, a landlord who will always increase the rent at will, and not even tell you that he's about to increase the rent. When you come, he comes to you early in the morning and say, you know what, you don't know how to buy a bag of cement because you have been investing your cement in your stomach. Because some of us are carrying bags of cement in the name of wicks and weavers. And he knows. Well, let me say it again. And so that landlord will frustrate you so that you will feel that this is beneath who you are. And that frustration will cause you to start looking for a land to buy. And once you've gotten the land, because you don't want to go through the embarrassment of a landlord again, you start looking for blocks and cement. And instead of you going out and enjoying a buffet, you start digging and paying labor. By the time you realize you've put up a 3-bedroom house and you are the landlord of your own. That is what I mean. Until you feel uncomfortable, you will never push forward. You can ask so many people here the genesis of them building. And they will tell you that at a point they felt embarrassed and ridiculed by a landlord. And they said, instead of doing this, I'd rather buy a land. Even if I put a kiosk or a container on it, it is my own property. That moved them. That discomfort will create the push for you. Discomfort. So if God is making you uncomfortable, you have to look at the bigger picture. If things are not working, you have to look at the bigger picture. Why are things not working? Then you will realize that God is giving you clues that you have overstayed your welcome. The reason why that boss is making life difficult for you is because God wants you to get out of there and start something on your own. But that discomfort is supposed to push you out and bring you to your place of creativity. Sometimes you have to get to a place where you feel uncomfortable. And it is not demonic. Check your scripture. The Bible says, and when they went out, they said to themselves, Master, when we go, we'll build for you too. And so Elisha had to go with them. When they went to build, they did not just build for them. That is talking about generational thinking. When you occupy places and you're not thinking about you, you are thinking about the people next in line. But watch the space. When they went about doing what they were tasked to do, they felt troubled. There was a problem. Because the ass they went to borrow had fallen in the river. Chapter number 6, I'm still there. I'll navigate out very quickly, and so bear with me and follow. The ass that they were using to cut the trees to build had fallen. You see, when you are about doing what God wants you to do, sometimes what you call your help, you might lose it. The people that are supposed to help you might leave you. The things that are supposed to push you might leave you. But when they leave you, we have to go by the first word. It's called the prophetic word. You call the prophet, and the prophet said, oh, I had said and given you my go ahead. Now go and do it. So if there is a problem, it is not just about you. God gave me a clearance. I gave you the clearance. And so if it's a problem, we can go back to God. And he had to, the Bible says, he cut the stick and put the stick in the river. Men of God, is a problem here. The tension in the test, if you follow the scripture, is that what they were using to cut the stick was what had fallen. So what did he use to cut it? Because you see, what a man in authority will be able to do, a man under authority will need his permission to do it. All right, let me come back. I'll come back and get you from there. Let me quickly run you out, because scripture says that now the ass head had swum. It did swim, and they picked it, did what they were to do, and they took it back. Then somebody came, and the Bible says that the Syrians had encompassed to kill the Israelites. And prof, what is amazing in that scripture is that the Bible says that anytime they say anything, Prophet Elisha will hear it. And the king will say, who is the traitor in our midst? Who, whenever we plan, will go and tell the king, and the Israelites will re-strategize. Somebody said, oh, king, don't get troubled. They have a prophet. The prophet is so sharp that even what you discuss in your bedroom, he hears it and he tells the king. You see, no matter how prayerful you think you are, never underestimate the importance of a prophetic voice. Because sometimes God will place on your life a prophetic voice that is supposed to push you up. Can I prophesy to somebody's life? No matter where the enemy thinks he has placed you, by virtue of the prophetic mandate, we push you where you ought to be. I don't know, maybe this place is weak for me. Let me prophesy to somebody. May the Lord lift you from where you are and position you in a place of advantage and lift you to your next level. Because it is not so much what you carry all the time. It is about what the people around you carry. It is about who is in your camp. It's about who is on your side. That is why the other day Paul said, if God be for us. So what he was saying is that if you have God in your camp, and so who is in your camp is more important than who is on the outside world. Can I push it forward? The Bible says that, and they had gathered around the prophet. They said, go and kill the prophet. And when they came, the prophet, his servants were troubled because they said that our master is about to die. These people are about to take us out. And the prophet, the Bible says, that spoke to his servant and said, my boy, do not be troubled, because there is the host around us are greater than the host that are against us. I just came to tell somebody that God is for you. And because God is for you, there is nothing that can stop you. The ones that are for you are greater than the ones that are against you. The Bible says that, and he smote them with blindness. That was a personal revelation for me. Because you see, sometimes God will not kill adversaries. He will just make them blind. Whoever is looking for you, may the Lord make them blind. You see, this was not even about a physical blindness I'm talking about. Because sometimes they'll be looking for you. You'll be there, but they can't find you. It is because God has what it takes to blind people. Where God is sending you to, may the Lord make blind whoever will try to come. Can I prophesy to somebody now? I just feel like praying for somebody. May the Lord make blind whoever will go out in hunt for you. Whoever will seek your downfall, may the Lord make them blind to your rising. So the prophet Elisha was there. They were all around, and yet they couldn't find him. If they look for you, they won't find you. If trouble looks for you, it won't find you. If the spirit of death looks for you, it will not find you. If the spirit of setback looks for you, it will not find you. Because God will make them. Come on, look at somebody and say, God will make them blind. Come on, look for another and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, he's talking to me. Say, my God will make them blind. I just came to tell somebody that God is about to make blind whatever will look for you. If they are looking for you, God will make them blind. And the Lord blinded them. Ooh. When they became blind, they were led and they didn't even know where they were being taken to. Because when God makes blind your adversaries, God gives you leadership over them. Can I talk to you? So God doesn't only make blind our adversaries. He gives us leadership over them. May the Lord lift you into positions of leadership. Positions of leadership and positions of advantage. Now look out for what the Bible says thereafter. Please sit down. Let me get into my text. Because I'm still swimming around it. Then the Bible says there was famine. There was famine in the land. Why was there famine? Because a king had decided to besiege the city. I want to stay there for some few minutes because sometimes it is not so. You can have greatness in you. But because of what has besieged you, you can have greatness as Ghana. And you can have gold and diamond and silver and bauxite. And you can have oil and you can have cocoa. That is what you have on the inside. But because of what has besieged you, you might be stricken with famine. And many nations and destinies are stricken with famine. Not because they don't carry potential, but because the enemy has besieged them. There are people under the sound of my voice. God blessed you with beauty, but you have been besieged. God blessed you with wisdom, but you have been besieged. And the enemy has been able to besiege you such that nobody is even able to recognize what you carry. Check the scripture out. Famine in the land. The cause of the famine? Because they had been besieged. The king was one day going about his duties. He was just walking around his kingdom. The Bible says that he saw a lady come to him. And ask the king, "King, help me. Help me. We need your help. Because you are not in leadership for yourself. You are in leadership for us. When you are appointed as a leader in any jurisdiction, you are not there for yourself. You are there to serve the people." So the king said, "Help." They said unto the king, "Help us." The king gave a statement that to me was very revelatory. This is what the king said. The king looked at the woman and said, "Woman, how can I help you? If God doesn't help you, how can I, a mortal as you are, how can I help you if the Lord doesn't help you?" What the king was trying to explain to the woman, that when you lift up your eyes onto the hills, from whence will come your help? Your help will not come from the north, the south, the east, or west, but your help will come from the Lord. Your help will come from on high. Look at somebody and say, "Your help will always come from the Lord." Can you look at another and say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, your help will always come from the Lord." Say, "Neighbor, if nobody has helped you before, get ready because God is about to help you." I just came to tell somebody that God is about. This place is not for me. Maybe I am in another church. This is not the Maker's House. The Maker's House that I know, they understand the revelation. So I'm really wondering if I'm in another church today. The king said unto the woman, "You have been waiting on man's help for so long, but man's help has a limitation. There is a realm called divine help. And if the Lord doesn't help you, who on earth, who else can help you? I came to pray for you that God will help you. May you get divine help in 2020. In 2020, may there be divine assistance. May the Lord help you in 2000 every step of the way. I'm just hearing the voice in my ears right now. In February, may you be helped. In March, may the Lord help you. In April, may you receive divine help. In May, may the Lord help you. In June, may the Lord help you. Throughout the days of this year, may you experience divine help. Because sometimes you wait for people and try to see if men and women will help us. But the Bible says, he said, if God does not help you, the last time I checked, if the Lord does not build a house, the builder builds but in vain. If the Lord does not keep watch over the city, the watchman watches but in vain. I came to tell somebody that God is about to build for you. God is about to take watch over your city. May God watch over. Can I preach to you now? Your help is not in the hands of any man. Your help is in the hands of God. When I lift up my eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help? The Lord, the maker, the keeper of Israel, that same God, the one who helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the one that when they said that these guys are about to die because they've thrown them into the burning fiery furnace, and the Bible says they thought these guys were gone when they were throwing them into the pit, into that furnace, the Bible says that their hands and their feet were tired, but when they jumped into the furnace, the Bible says there were four men, because there was a God of help in the midst of the fire. I don't care where you are throwing me, you can throw me into the fire. Well, by the time I get there, the God of my help, the God of my help, when the three Hebrew boys were being thrown into the furnace, when they were going into the furnace, they had no help. When they were being pushed in, God did not stop them. Because God will not wait at the entrance of a problem for his people. He will stand in the midst of the problem so that by the time you get in there, all right, you don't get it. Let me try to help you. Because you see, what the scripture is trying to let you understand is that God is, when God says, I will never leave you alone, neither will I forsake you, God is saying that in the midst of your misery, you will have company. By the time you get into the furnace, there will be the manifestation of the fourth man. So by the time you get into the furnace, Jesus, I'm not talking about an angel. He said, there is a fourth man, but the appearance thereof is like the Son of God. And so by the time you get there, that's why the Bible says, when you walk through fire, I'll walk through it with you. When you are in the water, I'll be in there with you. Look at someone and say, I have his company. Oh, come on, look for another and say, I have divine company. Can you look for three people before I preach to you and tell them, I have divine company? I have divine company. I honestly have divine company. So by the time I get into ready, he will be there. The Bible says that, and the king said, please sit down. And the king said, if God doesn't help you, I can help you. And the king asked them for explanation why they needed help. And they said, this woman, because of the farming, they asked that we all eat my child. I was able to slaughter my child. I did a human grill. We grilled. This guy enjoyed the thigh of my baby. We grilled. I made sure there was pepper and ginger. I grilled. He enjoyed the juiciest part of my boy, grilled. Grilled boy. He enjoyed it. It's now time for us to enjoy his her child. And she said, no. That was exactly what it says. No. If we've eaten your child, but my child is too precious, we can eat. Now look at, the king had to rent his clothes. The king was troubled. But in the troubled state of the king wanted to kill Elisha. Listen to this. When the king saw that there was famine in the land, instead of going to the prophet to look for solutions, he was going to the prophet to kill the prophet. That's why I said to you, most of the time, we kill our deliverers. The people that are destined to help us, we kill them. But the prophet was not perturbed. The Bible says that the prophet came back and said to all the people of Israel and said, and this is where my sermon is, said to them, that don't worry, tomorrow about this time, there is going to be food in abundance. There's going to be so much tomorrow about this time. Because it takes the word of a prophet to turn things around. When you really need a turnaround, it is the prophetic voice that is always superimposed upon a destiny that brings a turnaround. Can I do a prophetic declaration? Let me superimpose a prophetic word over you. Tomorrow about this time. I just wish everybody was ready for this. Tomorrow, a year from now. 21 days from now. Some of us 40 days from now. But a year will not pass that there will be any lack in your life anymore. From today, there will be no lack in your life. I bring a prophetic imposition in your life that may the Lord lead you into your realm of abundance. The Bible says, he said, tomorrow about this time, there will be abundance. I pray for you that may the Lord usher you into your realm of supernatural supply and abundance. If you read your test, just wave at me because I want to push this. You can stand, you can say it, any of them is fine. But if you read your test, man of God, he said, tomorrow about this time, there's going to be food in abundance. The prophet did not tell them how it's going to be. Because the prophet received the word, but the prophet did not have control of how the word was going to work out. Because it is not the prophet's duty to enforce the word.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m. and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word, be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.